It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
With me here in studio, the Tony Snow Studios, it is my dear friend and colleague twice over, Katie Pavlich.
Great
from
to see
Town
you.
Hall and Fox News. Great to see you.
Always fun to be with you in person.
Well, because you travel a ton and I travel a ton, and we live like 5 minutes from each other and we never see each other.
I know. It's true. It's like people who live in Arizona and never go to the Grand Canyon. It's like that kind of situation.
Yeah. I haven't seen you in like months. So great to see you. You were on TV earlier.
You too.
I want to talk about some of these protests around the country where they aren't just protesting. They are blocking traffic, bridges, shutting down airport entrances and that sort of thing. I love the tweet from Senator John Fetterman, who has somehow become heroic, actually, on this issue. He said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but blocking a bridge or berating folks in Starbucks isn't righteous. It just makes you a bleep hole, which is accurate. Fact check, true. On that one for Fetterman. There's a story in the Washington Free Beacon, headline, Left-Wing Dark Money Behemoth Behind Bail Fund for Free Palestine Bridge Blockers. And basically, it's this deep-pocketed, shadowy, dark money group funded by George Soros, among others, that is promising to bail these people out if they go to jail, because a lot of them just don't, because we know the types of cities that they pick. But if you do go to jail, don't you worry. Old Uncle George will come in and his team will bail you out. This is a coordinated effort by Islamists and basically communists.
Yeah.
Leftists, and it's happening everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, not only does it make you a bleep hole, but it also in many places makes you a criminal, which in Florida, for example, if you're going to block traffic, you get arrested. And then, of course, you maybe get bailed out by these very nice people who also bail out rioters in Minnesota, murderers, rapists, all kinds of criminals. So they are engaging in criminality and they're using this cause as a way to, you know, forcefully push forward what they believe in terms of not just being anti-Israel, but being pro-terrorism, anti-American, the same cast of dark money characters who are constantly trying to tear down the fundamentals of law enforcement and what you can and cannot do in the system that we have. And then once you're arrested or you're called out for what you're doing, they then throw out the, well, you're just Islamophobic or you're racist, and therefore we need to continue our efforts to break down the system.
Yeah.
So it's all about just embracing this criminality. That's what they want. They believe in this. This is their justice activism. And we've seen this for years, and now we're seeing it in the vein of being pro-Hamas and an opportunity to try and tear down the institutions that make our streets safe.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And I want to stay there for a second, because for the hardcore leftists, as you said, these are people who have been carrying on with this kind of agitation for a very long time. You pick the topic, they just sort of plug and play. Is it anti-police riots? Is it the environment? They have a playbook and they use it over and over again. In this case, they've made this unholy alliance with radical Islamists where they are at the forefront. It's people of color, and they call them marginalized communities, and they can claim Islamophobia and all of that. And the chief Islamophobia criers, by the way, is this group CARE, whose executive director celebrated October 7th.
Right.
Really important, mask fully off. I just think that's a frightening thing, because when it comes to, let's say, the 2020 riots or the environmental protests where they're defacing art or whatever, they have various reasons to block traffic, which is a dangerous thing, I'll point out. It's not just illegal. And I love seeing the cops in Miami literally dragging them out of the street. That's how you have to handle it. But what's different about this one is now you have one group of anti-American radicals teaching the other group, for example, how to chant death to America in Farsi. You have white leftists, in many cases, funding the bail funds, but the faces are Arabs wearing Hamas headbands and waving Hezbollah flags steps from Ground Zero in New York City. That's next level in my mind.
Well, first I would say, I think that if you block an ambulance in traffic from getting to where it needs to go, you should be charged with attempted murder. There have to be consequences for these people. I mean, they don't care if, you know, there's that famous video of the guy who was out on parole who was trying to get to his job. And he was saying, if I don't get to my job, I will go back to jail. And they didn't let him go to his job. Like, they don't care about
a person of color.
Right. They don't care about justice or, you know, moving the country forward. They care about tearing down the country. When it comes to this, what we're seeing now with the Islamic influence, that is a foreign influence that is happening. You hear Democrats talk all about foreign influence in elections, foreign influence in the country. You're seeing it right outside. They're all, you know, masked up with their stupid headbands that are about terrorism. And Democrats not only are not condemning it fully, except for John Fetterman, but they're embracing it for the sake of Joe Biden winning votes in places like Minnesota and Michigan and other communities that have decided they're non-committed to him.
Right, really, it's like looking the other way. So you have the people who are on their side, right? The squad types who are just pro-Hamas. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Fettermans and the Richie Torreses who are really good and mean what they say. Then you've got an awful lot of Democrats who want to check the pro-Israel box and just nothing to see here, nothing to speak here of all the stuff that we're talking about. You're talking about foreign influence in this context as well. There was that bombshell Semaphore report months ago about the Iranian influence operation, not in the streets, but at the top levels of the State Department,
Pentagon.
The Biden administration. Mm-hmm. So on Iran, since we're there, there was this attack last weekend on Israel, a massive attack. Much more than was expected. The U.S. government said this was intended to be a mass casualty event. The fact that Israel is so good at defending itself and got help from us and the Brits and the French and the Arabs, by the way, minimized the casualties almost completely, which is very good news, but it wasn't because Iran didn't try.
Right.
And it's kind of amazing to see people pretend like that coordinated mass casualty attempt really shouldn't count.
Well, first, I think it's important, just going back quickly to what we were just talking
Please.
About. America is pro-Israel, not because we believe in a Jewish state, which we do after World War II. We believe in that. But because Israel is a Western country with the same fundamental values as the United States of America. Free speech, democracy, women's rights, minority rights, religious freedom, the list goes on and on. That is why we are pro-Israel.
And they help us.
And we are, and they
help
us
with
tremendously with anti-terrorism intelligence, especially when it comes to Iran. And that is why they are an ally, and the people in Gaza are not, because the people in Gaza and Hamas are the opposite of all of those values. And you're seeing that trickling into America and everything you're seeing with these protests. In terms of the assault over the weekend on Israel by Iran, it is astonishing to me that they just keep moving the ball. It's like October 7th happens. They give Israel room for maybe 2-3 weeks to fight back. And then all of a sudden they're trying to tie their hands, demanding they send in more aid for people who are trying to kill them, holding their people hostage. And then Iran retaliates against Israel for falsely saying they blew up an embassy to kill the guy who helped plan October 7th and a number of other attacks on U.S. forces in the region, by the way.
Yeah.
And
there's a military
the response
target.
Is, we don't want to escalate, so you can't respond, when it's the opposite. If you don't respond, Iran escalates. They do it every single time. They only respond to force. And if you don't do something to make them deterred, then this will continue to happen. They will ratchet up their violence. And so they're giving Iran a free pass, telling Israel to take the win as if this is a win.
Right.
And also,
you got attacked. You got attacked and only one child got badly wounded. So take the win.
Right. Exactly. If Iran was successful, there would have been thousands of people dead, as there were on October 7th. And their MO is to continue to be violent until they are stopped, which is why you've seen them shut down shipping in the Red Sea, which is why you saw that drone kill U.S. troops in Jordan. It goes on and on and on as a result of a failure to push back on them harshly and say, enough.
Yeah, amen. That's a great point. Hold that thought, because I want to continue it here in just a second, but we have to take a break. It's a short one. We'll be right back with Katie Pavlich after this.
Always fresh, always fair. The Guy Benson Show.
Katie Pavlich is our guest here in studio on The Guy Benson Show. We were just talking about the Iranian attack directly on Israel last weekend. Two other points on this, because you were talking about what Iran wanted, which was thousands of Israelis dead. Iron Dome, which we fund, thank God. It's taxpayer funding that I'm actually happy to pay for. Iron Dome helps protect the Israeli homeland from rocket attacks, missile attacks, etc. It was wildly successful again in this attempt by Iran. But there were other factors that also helped prevent further damage. There are members of Congress, the usual suspects, who want to defund Iron Dome, which is purely defensive. Mm-hmm. It is not used to attack anyone. It is used to prevent Jews from dying right. at the hands of terrorists. AOC voted present on that and was weeping on the floor because she really wanted to vote the other way. She wanted to vote to defund Iron Dome, clearly, and she was all torn up about it, putting on a show. You might as well, if you're anti-Iron Dome, you might as well wear a t-shirt that says, I support dead Jews. Sorry, that's
also,
the reality.
Also, and I support dead Palestinians, because if Israel yes. did not have the Iron Dome, they would have no choice but to have gone into Gaza 10 years ago, in 2014, earlier than that, and flattened the entire place because they had no other recourse. The Iron Dome keeps Palestinians in Gaza,
alive.
In the West Bank.
Yep.
It keeps people in Lebanon alive as a result of its defensive system. Without it, the response would be overwhelming a long time ago. So it actually allows these terrorist networks to continue their attacks, including Iran, and for everyone to say, oh, nobody died as a result, so let's not escalate the situation. If there weren't an Iron Dome, there would be no choice but to stop what was happening at its source.
But they don't actually care about Palestinian lives.
No.
I think they are happy to see, as long as Israel is getting destroyed and Jews are being killed, if a bunch of Palestinians also die in the process, they'll just use that as an attack on Israel and scream genocide or whatever.
Yeah.
The main goal is to eradicate Israel. And it's a rump group of Congress. Thank goodness it's not that many of
but
them.
Growing.
They're loud. They're growing. They want to continue to take over that party. And the polls are inching that way, especially among young people who are fed a bunch of the propaganda through TikTok run by China. I mean, it's like one thing after another. Yeah. It's crazy. And at the very top, Katie, we have President Biden.
Yeah.
I did a whole monologue and wrote a piece for Town Hall yesterday about his use of the word don't. Mm-hmm. This man wants every group to be happy with him, and no one is happy with him. He wants to say our support for Israel is ironclad, and he does some good things, but then he is saying that the pro-Hamas agitators have a point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to placate the Death to America chanters in Dearborn, but also wants to fundraise with pro-Israel groups. I mean, he's straddling this fence in a way that is completely unconvincing to everyone domestically. More importantly, his words are completely meaningless, apparently, to our allies and our enemies abroad. He says don't, whether it's to the militias run by Iran mm-hmm. and the Houthis, or to Putin before he goes into Ukraine and then says, yep. well, maybe a minor incursion. Then he says don't to Iran on the attack that
when
just
he says,
happened.
To Ukraine, don't bomb Russian oil refineries. That would be very bad for me in terms
right.
of gas prices.
Right.
So don't really win the war.
Don't
do
this.
He also says don't to the people he claims he's standing up for. Israel, don't do this. Ukraine, don't do that.
Right. And so he says don't to the enemies, and they ignore him and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says don't to the allies, and increasingly, they're ignoring him mm-hmm. because he's telling them not to do things that are vital to their own national interests.
They're dangerous. He's telling them to do dangerous things.
And that's what I think is so dangerous. And I know, look, we're very critical of Biden on this program. I think he is absolutely awful as a president and cannot continue on in this role. But even if I were a supporter of Biden and wanted him to win and all of it, it is really dangerous to have a president whose foreign policy is this incoherent, run by underlings who have all sorts of different cross purposes, and ultimately for a commander-in-chief to have words that come out of his mouth and that the world ignores.
Mm-hmm.
That is dangerous for the world, dangerous for our country.
Well, and that's why you've seen it. I mean, people saw what happened in Afghanistan with the catastrophic withdrawal and the statements that continue to come from the White House that was a success. Enemies know it was not a success. Allies know it wasn't a success. Americans know it wasn't a success. And that toppled everything into what we're seeing now. Russia invading Ukraine, October 7th, the Houthis, this ragtag terrorist group in Yemen, shutting down shipping in the Red Sea. I mean, how embarrassing is that for the United States of America?
We look impotent.
That we can't keep the Red Sea open?
I mean, we can. We're just not.
We're not. So what does China think when they look at that? Oh, okay. America can't keep the Red Sea open. What about the South China Sea? What about Pacific waterways that we want to take control over to control supply chain routes and have people, you know, depending on us to open that up for people's well-being all around the world? To have an enemy like China, which hoarded PPP during the COVID pandemic, you don't think they're going to use that power if they take control of shipping lanes?
They would
do horrible things. And so, you know, Joe Biden says these things thinking that he's helping to satisfy everybody, but in reality, the words of the president really do matter, and it is unclear where he actually stands, and therefore everybody in terms of, you know, enemies are taking advantage of that in a very dangerous way.
Allies are spooked, also dangerous. And then here at home, the whole purpose of this incoherence supposedly is for politics, and that isn't working either because he's not impressing the pro-Hamas crowd, and he's not impressing the pro-Israel crowd.
I think it's amazing how he's getting away with this appeasement to a pro-Hamas crowd. Because Joe Biden said that he ran against Donald Trump because of Charlottesville, what happened in Charlottesville, which was horrible, awful, terrible. But it was like a couple dozen losers walking around with tiki torches they bought at Walmart, okay, screaming these horrible things about Jews and minority groups. But yet you have 100,000 of those same kind of people, but on the left in the Islamic vein in Michigan.
Big Charlottesville's all the time.
All the time. And it's okay. And nobody's talking about it.
Or they have a point.
Like, why is that appeasement allowed?
Let's do a round table with those people.
Let's invite them to the White House.
Yeah,
let's have them on the anti-Semitism task force.
Right, CARE.
Until we're called out later because the head of CARE celebrated October 7th. Which, by the way, no one should be surprised about this. This is the same CARE that was the unindicted co-conspirator of the Holy Land Project. This is who they are.
That's a terrorism funding operation and a huge federal investigation. Yeah. CARE was the unindicted co-conspirator there. Their leader openly celebrated October 7th, and then they turn around and lecture us about Islamophobia. Yeah. It's really something. Katie, before I let you go, one more don't on a different topic. You have the vice president, the border czar, and the president to illegal immigrants saying, oh, don't come. That's the word. Yeah. How's that gone? 10 million crossings
later. It's like the opposite happens. Yeah. Every time they say don't, just expect the opposite. It's like, okay, so this will happen. It's so easy. It's so easy to know exactly what's going to happen.
And
nobody takes
them
seriously.
Kind of a dark joke.
And it's because there are no consequences for any of these people going against when they say don't. Which, again, do you have no shame? Do you have no respect for yourself? Do you have no authority when people just ignore everything you're saying as the president? It's almost like when, you know, the Secretary of Defense went to the hospital and just didn't tell the president. And then there were no consequences for him.
He was in the ICU and lied about it.
Yeah, lied about it. I mean, do you have no... That's embarrassing as a top executive not to have a consequence for someone who defied the chain of command. It's like basic respect stuff for people who work for him, and they can't even get it together. So why would anybody else listen or respect what they have to say?
Lack of accountability, lack of consequences. These aren't just bad, worrisome things. It comes back to the word I've been using. Dangerous. It is actually dangerous on the world stage, and it's playing out before our very eyes. And I keep saying there's an election coming up, and it's a very high stakes one for all of these reasons and more. Katie Pavlich, editor at townhall.com, Fox News contributor, dear friend of ours here. It is great to see you.
Yeah, hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Yeah, let's do it again soon, please. Not like 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Another hour of the Guy Benson Show coming right up. Jennifer Say is here in studio when we return.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.